do actually have sermon notes available, and they will be available to you on the website later today to download in the message section. Again, Victory Church Gainesville. Go to the website, you can get the sermon notes. Let's get into our message today. So glad that you're with us here today and joined us online. Last week, I talked about God's protection in uncertain times. Now, if you missed that message, I want to encourage you to go again to the website and you can watch that message. It really ties in with the message today because these are the times that we live in, and we need to know that God wants to protect us, that God will protect us. God is famous throughout history, throughout the Bible, of protecting his people no matter what's going on in the world around them. That was last week's message. So we're all well aware of the coronavirus. The question is, what is our response? How should we act? First question is, should we be afraid? Do you need to be afraid? Well, almost all of us would know the answer to that is no, because the Bible actually commands us to never be afraid. How can you never be afraid? Because you trust in God. No matter what happens. Listen, this is not the first plague, calamity, disaster that's hit the planet, and I hate to tell you, but it won't be the last. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to get through this thing, and there will continue to be stuff, crud, happening on the planet. And if it's not some worldwide pandemic, even in our own personal life, stuff happens. In my life, and in 65 years on this planet, 45 years of being a Christian, I've never seen a pandemic like this. But there have been many things in my life that have caused me to be afraid. And I've had to go to the scripture, I've had to go to the word and see what the Bible says, and it calms my fear to know that God is with me. So I want to assure you today, if you're afraid of the coronavirus or even something else that's happening in your life, let's go to God and there's no need to be afraid. That's what Jesus said. He said he's got us in the palm of his hand. He said not one sparrow falls from the sky without his notice, and he said you're worth more than many sparrows and the hairs of your head are numbered. Yeah, God's watching over you. We don't need to be afraid. So should we take precautions? I think we should. We should stay up with the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and what they're recommending, social distancing. And what that's going to do is, if you've probably seen it, but the curve of how the infections go, and we can lower that curve so it won't spread so quickly. And you can do that without being afraid. You can take precautions without being afraid. And I don't know if you know this, because I'm just sharing something new with you, but at the University of Florida, they actually have discovered something that can help keep you from catching the coronavirus. Did you know about that? Yeah. What they discovered will help you. It's not a cure, but it will keep you from catching it. Is that way? Yeah, it's true. What they found out, if you get a FSU football jersey and start wearing it, empirical research has found that people who wear FSU football jerseys can't catch anything. So you need to find one. You need to start doing that. Most of you knew there's going to be an FSU joke in here someplace because, we can still laugh even though there's stuff going on. Next question, should we ignore the virus and just go on like nothing's happening? I don't think we should ignore it. It's real. It's happening. But there's something more powerful. At the end of this message, we're going to pray together because the President of the United States has proclaimed March 15th as a national day of prayer. He's asked the churches, he's asked Christians to agree for a miracle. We're going to do that. I think it's a powerful thing. It's happened in the past. Presidents have done this before. Our nation has cried out to God. Nations in the past, nations in the Bible, people in the Bible have cried out to God. And you know what? God is famous for answering prayers, especially when a nation comes together or a church or a family. He moves on our behalf. We're going to see that happen. So I don't think we should ignore it. Do you know what? God can use this virus to bring people to him. God is famous for using things that the devil, the enemy, has put on the planet. And you know that everything evil on the planet has come from the curse that happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. That's where all this comes from. And God is famous for taking what Satan meant for evil and turning it around and using it for good. I actually believe God can use this to bring people to Christ. Look what this says here in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus speaking, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Are we seeing that now? Is the world in tribulation? People are stockpiling, people are afraid. As I said, precautions are good, but fear is not good. Panic is not good. Do you know what the most contagious disease on the planet is? Panic. Because it can spread at the speed of light, at the speed of sound. It can be transmitted over the airwaves, and it can be deadly. Don't catch that disease. So he said, "I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Everything we need in life, we have in Christ. I want you to know that. You're not a person that's lacking anything that you need in this life. And that's what I want to talk about today. Jesus is available to every man, woman, boy, girl on the planet right now. And in him is everything that we need. In times of crisis, people look to God. Have you noticed that? We've seen that in the past, even in our lifetime, when crises have hit, catastrophes, when there's wars, when we had the towers hit, so forth. People turn to God. But sometimes people don't know how to turn to God, so they turn to someone that they think knows God. That might be you. That's what I want to share with you today. You might be the only Bible someone has ever read. You might be someone's only connection to God. They may have in their heart, they don't know how to connect with God. They feel like they can't talk to God, but they can talk to you. I want you to be ready this week to talk to people about God. People that are uncertain about life. People that have fear. They're looking for fear of the things that the Bible said in the last days men's hearts would fail them for fear of the things going on the planet. We see that happening right before our eyes. I believe God wants to use you as a Christian to minister to other people. Yeah. I believe you were born for such a time as this. This can be the church's finest hour to begin to minister to people, to bring peace where there is no peace, to bring calm in the midst of the storm, to bring hope into this world, even to bring healing. You know what? Jesus, every place he went, he healed people. He even healed highly contagious diseases that people had, and he wasn't afraid to contact people with leprosy. Now, I have to admit, you have to have a high level of faith, but that's where he operated. But he always healed people. And then he said in John 14, 12, "The same things I do, you shall do, and greater things shall you do, because I go to be with the Father." Indeed, Mark 16, 15 says, "These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Be ready to be used of God to minister to somebody. Be prepared to help people. Now, this week, we're going to be starting something in our church and preparing to respond to wherever this virus goes. Pastor Mike is ready. He's wanting to put together a team that can respond to people in our church that might be shut in because of their physical condition. They may feel they may want to not go out in public, and they may have some needs. If you are in that category, we want you to contact the office this week, call the office, email, connect with us through the website, get a hold of Pastor Mike and say, "Hey, I have a need." On the other side, if you'd like to be one of those people who brings supplies to someone who is shut in, also contact Pastor Mike. So we're preparing to deal with this however long it takes and take care of the people in our midst. But I also want you to know that you do not lack the ability to help people. You know, there is a devil. Jesus said the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, "But I came that you might have life." He called him a liar. He said he's a liar from the beginning. So there is a devil, and he is a liar. And what he tells all of us, when we have something in our heart where we want to help somebody, the devil says, "No, no, don't do that. You don't have what it takes. You're not going to help that person. You're going to hurt that person." He'll bring insecurity, fear. He'll use something from your past to keep you from reaching out of yourself and helping somebody, because that is the mission of the church is helping people. And the devil knows that. And he tries to tell you that you lack what it takes in this life to be used of God. And I'm here today to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell, that you lack nothing, for the Father God who created you in your mother's womb put everything that you need down on the inside of you. You say, oh, you don't understand. I'm afraid. Yeah, what you got to understand is you actually have what it takes, but through the circumstances of life, and the devil has convinced us, I know he convinced me in many ways, that I was not able to speak. I was not able to minister. But that was a lie from the pit of hell, because the God who made me with everything I needed. The God who made you with everything that you need to be a success in life. I want you to know that you don't lack anything that you need. I want you to begin to have a no-lack mentality. Jesus said about us that you are the light of the world. Don't hide your light under a bushel. He said you're the salt of the earth. The salt has preservative power. You have what it takes. Jesus told us to go into all the world and share the good news. Gospel means good news. It's not bad news. You know, Jesus never said, go around and tell people they're going to hell. He said, go around and tell people I love them. It's good news, the good news of the gospel. He told us to go heal the sick, comfort the hurting, give hope to the fearful, to mend the broken, to bring sight to the blind, to set captives free, help people. Help people. Jesus kept saying that to his disciples. Go help people. Take what I'm giving you. Give it to somebody else. Has God helped you? He wants you to pass that on and help somebody else. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what the church is. The church is people helping people. The church is broken people that have been helped by God and turn around and help somebody. Don't wait until you're perfect, because guess what? That day will never come. We're all on a journey. We're all changing and growing, but wherever you're at, there's somebody in your life for you to reach out to and help. But we won't help people if we think we lack what it takes. The devil does his best to convince us that we lack. The devil says, don't pray for people. Don't reach out. You lack. But I'm here to tell you, you lack nothing. You have everything you need to be all that God created you to be. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. God has a destiny. And you have everything that you need to fulfill your destiny. You don't have what you need to fulfill my destiny. I don't have what I need to fulfill your destiny. You have what you need to fulfill your destiny. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Don't try to fulfill somebody else's destiny or be somebody else. Be everything that God created you to be, because you have everything it takes to be what God's called you to be. You lack nothing. You have everything you need. You have all the talent that you need to do what God's called you to do. You have all the resolve, all the courage, all the strength, all the creativity, all the discipline, all the self-control, all the faith, all the determination, all the intelligence. I don't know what the devil has told you, but I'm here to tell you from God and the authority of His Word, you have what it takes to be a success in this life. See yourself a no-lack person. Too often we see ourselves as lacking what somebody else has. We compare ourselves to other people. No, just compare yourself to the call that's on your life and know you got everything you need. How you see yourself determines how you're going to live. If you see yourself as not having what it takes, you're self-defeating yourself. You know what I found out? The devil can't just come in and kill you. He has to convince us to steal from ourselves, to diminish ourselves. If he could just come in and knock you in the head and kill you, he'd have already done that. He's got to get us to defeat ourselves. I want you to quit defeating yourself and quit being a self-defeating person by knowing that you have everything that it takes. You need to start telling yourself every morning that I'm not lacking anything. The devil says I'm lacking talent. You know, I'll never be able to accomplish this. I don't have what it takes. I don't have self-control. But the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I have everything that I need in Christ, the power of God working in me. If you see yourself lacking, it will set the limits for your life. Look at this verse of Scripture here in Psalms 34. It'll be up there. You can read it along with me. It says this, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. If there's anything powerful in the jungle, in the wild, it's a young lion, right? Not an old toothless lion. I mean, a young lion has got all his teeth and all his claws and all his strength. You know how powerful a young lion is? How high they can jump? But it says this, even a young lion who relies in his strength, he might get hungry. And what it's saying is no matter how strong you are, if you only rely in yourself, but watch this, young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord, no, it's not just you, it's the Lord on the inside of you. Those who seek the Lord, watch, shall not lack any good thing. That's you. That's you. You don't lack anything that you need in this life. Now, you might lack what it takes to be somebody else, but you don't lack what it takes to be the success that God's called you to be. I want to read that verse again. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I just want to confess that over you. You need to confess that over yourself. Maybe you need to write that on your mirror or put it in your dashboard of your car and say that I don't lack any good thing because the Lord is on the inside of me. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're a no-lack person. That dream that you have, if it's from God, a God dream, it's not too big. The challenge that's before you is not too great. You might say, well, this virus is nothing. You should see the challenge that I've been facing all these years. I know what you're talking about. We all have challenges, but I want you to know the challenge is no match for what God has put on the inside of you because you lack no good thing. God would not bring you to it if he couldn't bring you through it. He would not allow that challenge to come in your life if he didn't have faith in knowing that you had on the inside of you what it takes to move that mountain, cross that river, solve that problem, defeat that thing that's coming against you. Woo, that's good. If you were here, I know you'd be shouting right now and clapping or something like that. You're probably doing that at home. And popcorn's flying all over the place. I'm sorry about that. You can pick it up later. Don't pick it up now because we're not done yet. I want you to know that you have what it takes. How do you see yourself? Everybody's facing something throughout this life. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself a sick person trying to get well or a well person fighting off sickness? It makes a difference how you see yourself. How do you see yourself? Maybe you're facing some financial struggle. Do you see yourself as a poor person trying to buck the system or a blessed, prosperous person fighting off poverty? It makes a big difference how you see yourself because you know what? Abundance is your normal state as a Christian. I'll prove that to you here from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 said, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Did you ever want to do a good deed but you didn't have abundance? Hang in there. It's coming, but you have to believe. You have to be a no-lack person. Sometimes we're not experiencing it because we've accepted the lie of the devil that I'll just never get ahead. I'll never make it. I'm accepting a poverty mentality. That's farthest thing from the truth of the Word of God, how we should see ourselves. Look at this. Psalm 37:11 says, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in what? Abundant prosperity. That's in your Bible. Proverbs 10:22 says, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Why? Because abundance is your normal state. Are you an addict trying to get free? Or are you a free person fighting off an addiction? John chapter 8 says in verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. If you've come to Jesus Christ, you've got everything you need on the inside. You're not an addict fighting off an addiction. You're a free person fighting off an addiction. It makes a big difference on how you see yourself. In fact, Isaiah wrote this 1,500 years before Jesus was born, and it's a prophetic passage of Scripture, meaning it's prophesying or foretelling what Jesus' ministry would be like. He wrote it 1,500 years before Jesus was born. When Jesus was ministering on the earth, you see this story in Luke chapter 4. It says he was in the temple, and they asked him to read, and it says he went to the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, and he read this passage, and then he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, and he sat down, and everybody was amazed, because they knew it was a prophecy of the Mashiach, the Messiah, the coming one. And he was saying, I'm he. Here's what he read right here. We're going to read it from Isaiah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I want you to know it's on you too. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. Jesus said, the same things I do, you shall do. We're his ambassadors. We're little Christ. We're not going to go to the cross and die for anybody, but we're going to be the hands and feet and the mouth of Jesus, bringing the love of Jesus and doing these same things. That's what he said. The same things I do, you shall do. All these things that he did that were prophesied to him is the mission and the privilege and the honor of the church today in the earth to do. Watch this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That's what you ought to say every morning. Not I'm weak, I can't make it, I'm struggling, but you ought to say the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Praise God. That's what David said when he faced Goliath. Not I'm stronger than you, but the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That's how he defeated that giant, and that's how you defeat your giants. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, not bad news. We don't have bad news. I'm not standing here today telling everybody, oh, the coronavirus is going to kill everybody. No, I got good news. There's a God in heaven who loves you, wants to heal you and bless you and make you a success. Watch what else it says. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's what we have to do as a church. Find people that are in fear and put courage in them. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives. You know somebody who's addicted? Tell them you can be set free. Freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. To comfort. The church is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Spirit in you will comfort people. To comfort all who mourn. That's what we're supposed to be doing. This is the church's finest hour to comfort people and tell everybody it's going to be all right. You're going to make it through this thing. Yeah, you're not going to die. Well, actually, you're going to die. We're just not going to die this week from the coronavirus. Are you ready? And Jesus makes us ready. We comfort people. Comfort all who mourn. Grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, and they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Isn't that all good stuff? You see, and that's what Jesus read and said, this is me. This is my ministry. And then he said, this is you to his disciples. And he says that to every one of us. That's what the Bible says. As many who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call to himself, have this mantle and this mission. Freedom is your normal state. Joy is your normal state. You may be in a situation now where you feel like joy is far away, but you ought to just pull it back because it's in the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is your normal state. Health is your normal state. I know what it's like to be sick, but it's important how you see yourself. Not as a sick person trying to, you know, hopefully something. No, see yourself as a well person, and this thing's trying to steal what is rightfully mine. Yeah. Peace is your normal state. Victory is your normal state. God didn't make anyone depressed, sick, weak, insecure, mediocre, less than or lacking. That's not your normal state. God made you an overcomer, successful, happy, fulfilled, a winner, a giver, a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece because the master of the universe created you just the way he wanted you. He gave you everything you needed to fulfill your destiny in this life. You have everything you need on the inside of you. Get a new image. I'm talking to somebody today. I know you're out there in your pajamas eating that popcorn, but I'm talking to you today, encouraging you and speaking to you by the power of the Holy Spirit coming into your home, letting you know there's something awesome that God has for you in your life. Have you ever heard this saying? I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. I know it's not grammatically correct, but I want to tell you the story about that. It was made famous by a woman named Ethel Waters. We have her picture, and I think you're going to be able to see it. And some of you might remember her. Ethel Waters, that was her handle. That was how people knew her. Every place she went, she would say, I know I'm somebody, because God don't make no junk. But you got to understand where that's coming from and why she said that. Let me just tell you briefly about this woman, Ethel Waters. She was born October 31st, 1896. She was born because her mother was raped at the age of 13. So she grew up feeling unwanted. The people made fun of her. She didn't have a father. She grew up in harsh conditions. She had suffered much abuse as a child in difficult circumstances. And to try to escape it, at the age of 13, she married. But that was even worse situation. It was an extremely abusive relationship such that at the age of 14, she divorced. She left her husband, divorced at 14, and joined the circus. For many years, she traveled around the country in the circus. And she admits, she said it was a rough life. She said, I was a very rough person. I was bitter and I was angry and I was hurt. And I didn't think very highly of myself. But there in the circus, somebody came and introduced her to Jesus. And she found a relationship with Jesus, and it changed her life. And that's when she said, I know I'm somebody, because God don't make no junk. And by the time she died at the age of 80 in 1977, she was inducted. After she got to know Jesus, she decided that she was somebody. And that God had actually given her some talents. And she started using the gifts that God gave her to sing for the Lord and to go in churches. And people heard about it. And she actually became famous to the point where when she died, she was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. She won an Emmy and a Grammy. She actually became a famous actress in Hollywood. She won the Best Supporting Actress role in 1949. She had 25 hit records. She has a star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood. She wrote an autobiographical book called His Eye is on the Sparrow, because she loved to tour with Billy Graham, and she made that song famous that she used to sing all the time. His Eye is on the Sparrow. That was her trademark. That was her song. And she would tell that story, and she would say every time, I know I'm somebody, because God don't make no junk. And I'm here to tell you today, you're somebody, because God don't make no junk. How do you see yourself? How do you see your future? You know, the people of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. You know the story, how God brought them out. But it's interesting that when God brought them out of slavery and out of Egypt into the wilderness, God put it on the hearts of the Egyptians to take all their gold and silver and give it to these former slaves. Unbelievable. But you have to ask yourself, what need do they have of gold in the desert? Doesn't do them any good. There's no malls. There's no internet. There's no shopping. God supplied all their needs with manna from heaven, and he covered them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. Why would they need this gold? Do you know what they did with all that gold and silver and jewelry and diamonds and such? They put it on all their children. They put gold necklaces around their children in the desert. Gold bracelets and gold rings and gold earrings. And why did they do that? To change their image of themselves. You're no longer a slave. You're kings and queens, and God's got something special for you. And some of you need to put that image on you, that I'm no longer a slave to these things that I've been fighting in the past. I'm not slave to my addictions or to my fears. I'm free, I'm blessed, and I'm going forward with God into something great in my life. How do you see yourself and the coronavirus? Do you see yourself as a victim or a victor? Psalm 37, 18 and 19 says, the Lord knows the days of the blameless. Their inheritance will be forever. They'll not be ashamed in the time of evil. And in the days of famine, they will have an abundance. Yeah, that's the picture you need to get. Psalm 91, 9 and 10 says, you have made the Lord my God, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil. Get this into your spirit. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. You ought to say that. You ought to pray Psalm 91 over your family every day. I've been doing it for 40 years or longer. I didn't start when the virus came. I started a long time ago, because there's always something trying to get on you. Pray this over your family. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a no-lack person? Do you see yourself using this as an opportunity to help others? You know, when they came into that desert place, the people of Israel, they sent 12 spies to cross the Jordan and spy out the land that they were supposed to get. And you know what happened? 10 of those spies came back and said, we see ourselves like grasshoppers against these people. They said, we're lacking. We can't do it. And two of them said, Joshua and Caleb said, no, we're well able to take the land. Two of them saw the God power on the inside of them, and 10 of them said, we can't do it. And you know what? The people believed the 10, and they didn't go in, because of how they saw themselves. How do you see yourself? Lacking or not lacking? Change how you see yourself. See yourself strong, valuable, talented, successful, because that's how God sees you. Get an image of victory and abundance, of helping others, of healing people, of encouraging people. You will never rise higher than the image that you have of yourself. See yourself as a no-lack person. The creator of the universe doesn't make second-class people. He don't make no junk. You have everything that you need to fulfill your mission in life. Everything that you need. You have the talent. You have the looks, the favor, the intellect, the personality, everything that you need. Now, maybe the devil's convinced you that you don't. He convinced me of that one time. We went with a group to start a church at UCLA in 1981. Well, right after we got there, I remember we went out with our team in a place called Westwood Village, which is just adjacent to UCLA. It's a place where on Friday and Saturday nights they close the streets off to cars, and people just throng down there. It's where the first-run theaters are and restaurants and the shops are open. There's just thousands and thousands of people walking the streets. And we went there with our little team that went to start a church at UCLA. My pastor got up and started preaching. And just then, those two theaters on that corner there let out. And in just a matter of just moments, there was probably 300-400 people circled around him, preaching the good news. I was so excited, so impressed. And all of a sudden, I knew in my spirit, you're next. God began to show me. I heard in my spirit exactly what to say. And just then, my pastor's voice, he lost his voice, and he kind of looked at me. And I knew that I was supposed to stand up and speak, and I knew what to say. But you know what? I didn't do it because the fear was greater than the strength that I had. I saw myself lacking the ability to do it. I was always afraid to speak in school. I went home so ashamed of myself that I got mad at that loss, and I begin to walk up and down my house every afternoon with my Bible, confessing scriptures on boldness and courage for 2 hours a day for 6 weeks. At the end of that 6 weeks, on a Friday night, I didn't tell anybody. I grabbed a little metal chair that I had, and I went out to that same spot, and I put that chair on the side of the curb, and I stood up, and I started speaking. And before long, there was 5, 10, 20, a couple hundred people standing around listening to me. You know what? If I hadn't conquered that, I wouldn't be standing up here speaking today. The devil had hoodwinked me, convinced me that I lacked the ability to speak. And what I'm saying today, I believe there's something that might be going on in your life where the devil has convinced you to not do the exact thing that God wants you to do. And what I'm saying is during this time of trial for our country with the virus, there's going to be people that come into your life that you are there, you have been sent into their life for such a time as this. And don't let the devil steal your ability to communicate the good news of the gospel with that person, because you're a no-lack person. I had what I needed, the devil convinced me that I didn't. The power for you is greater than the power against you. 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You ought to say that about yourself every day. Well, let's all rise to the occasion that's around us. Let's not see the coronavirus as something to fear, but let's see it as an opportunity to help people. Let's run to the battle. Let's see ourselves as salt and light. Let's see ourselves as Christ's ambassadors. Can you do that? Servants of the Most High God, born for such a time as this, ready for the challenge that's before us. Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel to people. One last scripture, and we're going to pray. We're going to do what the president asked us to do. Luke chapter 10 says, Jesus speaking, behold, I give you, and this is an event right here where he called his disciples together and sent them out. That's what he's doing with us. He's sending us out. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Watch this. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I want to proclaim that over you today with all the fear that's going on. I want to say nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now let's join in prayer together as our president has asked us to do and pray for our nation. Would you join with me? Father, we know that you answer the prayers of your people. We've seen it happen throughout Bible history. We've seen it happen in our own lives. You said, if any two agree as touching any one thing, our Father shall, the prayer shall be answered by our Father who's in heaven. So we just touch and agree right now in faith. I curse this coronavirus in the name of Jesus. We speak to every virus cell in the United States to die in Jesus' name. I curse you, sickness and disease. Die. Die in people's bodies. Sickness, die. Virus cells, coronavirus, die and disappear. So that even the professionals are astounded at how did that disappear so quickly. And I pray over God's people right now, especially those that are watching, peace into their hearts. I speak healing into their bodies. Even if maybe they've contracted it and don't know it, I command it to die right now in Jesus' name. They will have no effects, they will have no symptoms, and they will not pass it on to anybody. I pray your protection on all God's people. Let this be the church's final hour. We pray for our nation for healing. We pray for unity in our nation. Pray for our nation to come together in faith. We pray for revival in our land. Use this that the devil has meant for evil and use it to bring people into the kingdom of God. Even right now, even some of you that are watching right now, I got an important question for you, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, you're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be watching right now, and you go, well, I don't know. I think so. Hope so. Not sure. Does anybody know? Well, listen, first of all, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure of. And yes, you can know, because the Bible says, I've written to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that's what the Bible says. And someone asked Jesus, how do you get eternal life in John chapter 3? And here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. It's that simple. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again. You say, well, what does that mean? It's really simple. It just means that at a point in your life, you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. That's how simple it is. It's very simple. That's the beginning. And then you're on a journey with God. If you've never done that, that's why you're watching today. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer so you can surrender your life. Yeah, it's that simple. Just pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow from this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Well, you can go ahead and shout and dance and give praise over there in your house. You already spilled your popcorn, so don't worry about that. And I got a couple more things, and then we're going to wrap up. I want to thank you for joining us online. Hopefully, this was a good experience for you. Normally, we have prayer teams, but we can still pray with you over the website. Once again, go to the website. Let us know your prayer requests. Contact us and let us know anything that's going on in your life. Now, normally, at this point in the service, we take up our offering, but you're not here. But you know what? Through the miracle of technology, you can still give an offering online. In fact, usually about half of our people do that anyway. So during this time, thankfully, we have this ability to give online. If you've never availed yourself of that, this would be the time to do that. All you have to do is go to our website, victorychurchgainesville.com, and then there's a big square, and it says online giving. Click that, and within a minute or two, it'll be done. You can set it up. You can also text to give if you like to do that. Here's my offering verse, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given unto you. That's what Jesus said. They will pour into your lap good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over by your standard of measure. It will be given to you. The interesting thing about this is that giving to God is a faith venture. You know, normally you wouldn't just give something, you know, and hope. You know, if you go to McDonald's, you want to make an exchange. I'm going to give you this. You're going to give me my Happy Meal. And with God, you have to trust Him. That's why giving in the kingdom, it's a faith venture. You have to trust that He's going to do what He said in the Bible. He's going to give it back to you. So let me pray over your opportunity to give here. Father, I thank you for everybody that's giving in this offering. I ask you to give them back a hundredfold blessing in Jesus' name. Now I want to pronounce this blessing over you that I do every week, that God had Moses speak over His people. I say you're blessed coming in and going out, in the city, in the country, in your home, in your field, when you lie down, when you get up. Blessed is your bread and your water, your basket, your bowl, your barn, your bank account, your job, your home, your car, your animals, everything that you have. I command the blessing of God upon you. I say if the enemy comes against you one way, he'll flee seven ways before your face. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you'll condemn with the word of God. You're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You're going to lend and not borrow. And all you put your hand to, you'll prosper. I call increase into God's people. Spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase. Blessings from every direction. Opportunity to pray for the sick and lead people to Christ. In Jesus' name. Everybody that believed that said, amen. All right. We'll let you know this week what we're going to do next week. It's a day-by-day situation, right? Thank God for the internet and technology. We can connect with you. All right? you guys can leave your bulletins with the popcorn there on the floor. Normally have our prayer teams, but you can, again, connect on the internet. And we don't have our worship team, so that's going to be it. Stay connected. Stay in faith. I love you. See you next week.